We've talked in previous days about what next Tuesday's election polling will look like from the standpoint of voters who are casting ballots, poll volunteers, city and county clerks, and even law enforcement. There is someone else in the mix, election challengers. Madeline Halpert is a reporter with Bridge, Michigan, and she wrote about election challengers in an article that published today. Madeline, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start out with some definitions. Who are election challengers? What are they trained to do?
Yes, well, election challengers are there to observe the election process on election day and also the process at absentee voter counting boards as well. Election challengers, there's a distinction to be made between poll challengers and poll watchers. We've heard a lot about poll watchers. Poll watchers have fewer rights than poll challengers. They don't have to go through a training, but poll challengers go through a training. They are sponsored by either a party or a sponsoring organization, and they are there to observe the process, and they can make challenges based on, they can challenge a voter's eligibility, and they can challenge the election inspector's process as well.
So just to be clear, is the entity that pays for their training the same as the entity that conducts the training? I mean, is there some standardization on the training of election challengers?
So the training is conducted either through the party. So the Michigan GOP has trainings, the Michigan Democratic Party has poll challenger trainings, and also these sponsoring organizations. For example, I attended a training, I watched a training with the Election Integrity Fund, which is one of these sponsoring organizations, and the Michigan Conservative Coalition is also one of these sponsoring organizations. So they provide the trainings as well. Organizations do, and then also the Republican and Democratic parties provide poll challenger trainings as well.
What kind of stuff are election challengers watching for?
Well, from what I've seen at the training that I attended, which was focused specifically on absent voter counting boards and specifically in Detroit, they had pointed to some past issues in the Detroit primary elections in August. So they're looking for how the election inspectors are handling the ballots. Some of the poll challengers that I talked to brought up concerns about making sure that the ballots are being checked against names in the poll books before they're run through the tabulators to be counted. So they're looking for those kinds of things. At the actual polling places, poll challengers can challenge a person's eligibility to vote, but that has to be based in good faith. They can't challenge a voter's eligibility to vote based on their appearance, based on their language ability. Usually those challengers do research ahead of time to see whose eligibility they'll be challenging, from what I understand.
Did you get much of a sense of how much early research is being done into subjects like that?
It seems like that's something that maybe more of the parties are doing and less the challengers themselves. Like I said, I attended an absent voter counting board training, so they're not going to be challenging voters' eligibility. They're going to be focused on the absent voter counting process. I also attended a GOP poll challenger training as well for in-person, and it seems like the parties are going to be doing more of the research and not the challengers themselves as much, from what I can understand.
So give us more of a sense of who the poll challengers are. Did you get to know anyone who was taking part and volunteering for this process?
Yeah, so I spoke to several Republican poll challengers, and it's worth noting that the Democratic Party is also sending in poll challengers and poll watchers, as I mentioned, but I spoke with the Republican poll challengers. I spoke with at least three of them, and from what I can understand, they are concerned about fraud. They really do believe that that's something that's occurring, even though experts have said there's not necessarily evidence of wide-scale fraud. So that's a worry for them. That's how they started off the training session, was talking about, you know, we're here to stop fraud. They want to make sure that every voter only votes once, is what they've said to me. They say that they're motivated by patriotism, and they say they're concerned about the integrity of the election. So they are very, you know, they're at, in August, some of them were at the TCF Center for 13 hours standing on a cement floor. So they're dedicated to the cause.
Well, we know that this is a year when there are going to be a lot of newer poll workers. There have been many people who've expressed interest in working the polls this year because of concerns that the polls might be understaffed or because COVID might have a chance to disrupt the vote. Did you get a sense that many of the poll challengers are keenly aware that there might be some new folks working the polls who might be less aware of the rules?
Yes, I do think so. I mean, some of the poll challengers I talked about have called it the perfect storm. You have a ton of absentee ballots to count, and then you have a lot of new inexperienced workers who are taking over for some of these veteran poll workers who are having to sit this one out because of COVID. So that is definitely on their minds. I'll also add that some of the poll challengers I've spoken to have told me that they believe that the vast majority of these poll workers are really trying to do their best and do an honest and fair job, but they have to work long hours. Thankfully, this year in Detroit, some of them will be able to work in shifts, but they're working long hours. It's a new job that they've just learned. And so some of what the poll challengers have said to me is that they're there to help prevent these unintentional mistakes as well and call attention to those. So I would say that they definitely are aware that there's going to be a new inexperienced population, but that the ones that I've talked to have said that they don't have any sort of antagonistic relationship with poll workers. They understand that they're trying to do their best job is what they've told me.
You wrote in your article that there were several prospective challengers asking what the most common fraud is to look out for. How did the organizer answer that?
Yeah. They said that several questions came from trainees about what the most common types of fraud were. And somebody who was speaking at the training, Marianne Sheridan, who's with the Michigan Conservative Coalition, she herself has been a poll challenger, and she pointed to what happened in Detroit. So she pointed to these ballots that they alleged weren't checked against names in the poll books before being run through the scanners. That was the main concern that she brought up, is the ballots that weren't being checked.
Would you say that there was much differentiation being made between voter fraud and voting irregularities, which might be a function of having newer people working the polls?
Right. I would say at the training, there was not, from what I could tell, there was not much of a distinction between the fraud and the irregularities. So, for example, when the trainees asked, what are the most common types of fraud, they brought up what happened at Detroit, which some poll challengers have described to me as irregularities and some poll challengers have described to me as fraud. So I do think that there is a bit of a confusion there for some poll challengers about what is considered fraud and what is considered irregularity.
This is a complicated year to be talking about the sanctity of the voting process. We've had many assurances on this program and elsewhere from the people who oversee elections, the clerks in the Secretary of State's office, that we do this every year. And yes, we do have an awful lot of mail-in ballots, but the process itself shouldn't be that much different. At the same time, President Trump, the head of one of the major political parties and one of the presidential candidates, has really gone out of his way to try to stoke fears about voting irregularities, which, as you've noted, election experts say don't really have merit in terms of the real-life experience of the American election process. Is there necessarily any reason to think that the challenges that happen might affect the vote in Detroit in a way that would change outcomes?
Again, I'm not an expert on this, so I can't say for sure. But from what I understand, at least what we can see with the August primaries is, despite these challenges, despite these affidavits, I spoke to somebody from the Wayne County Board of Canvassers who told me that these affidavits and these challenges were an indication that the results were inaccurate, right? And they still certified the elections. So I can only go off of what those people have told me. It seems like from the August primaries that there won't be, it's hard to say for sure, I would say.
Was there any cautioning for the election challengers in their training about what might constitute a form of voter suppression, like how to not go too far with their challenges?
So I will say that there is no conversation about voter suppression in the trainings. They do emphasize that they have to be courteous and polite to poll workers and poll voters. And like I said, poll challengers don't have the right to speak to voters. So I think some of the trainers consider that to be irrelevant because they think, oh, well, they know that they're not supposed to speak to voters. So it won't be a form of voter suppression in that regard or intimidation. So there isn't any sort of conversation really about intimidation and suppression from the trainings that I've seen there. That was not a conversation. They do emphasize to the poll challengers that they have to be courteous to poll workers and the voters there, but no conversations about suppression and intimidation during the trainings.
What kind of information were you able to get about how many election challengers might be out there this year?
Yeah, so I wasn't able to get direct information from the GOP party, but I was able to get information from these sponsoring organizations, these conservative sponsoring organizations, including the Election Integrity Fund, who says they've trained at least 500 poll challengers so far. The Michigan Conservative Coalition says, a spokesperson told me that they've trained maybe 200 to 300 poll challengers so far. So they, right there is a potential for 800. And that's for the state of Michigan, but a lot of them are focusing specifically on Detroit.
Detroit is a majority Black city. What was the composition of the election challengers at the training that you attended via Zoom?
So I actually could not see the challengers. Unfortunately, their video was not on. All I can say is that the poll challengers I've spoken to were predominantly white. I've spoken with only men, but the male poll challengers I've spoken with have told me that there are also women and that the ages vary. In fact, they're starting to see some more younger poll challengers, but they are predominantly white.
You already told us that there wasn't conversation in the training about voter suppression, but it really feels like there's an elephant in the room in that African Americans do have a history of having their votes suppressed in this country. And if the election challengers are an all-white body of volunteers, that there's a dynamic there. Was that addressed at all in the training?
No, that was not addressed at all in the training. As I mentioned, there was really no conversation about suppression and intimidation. When they reference Detroit also in these trainings, they talk about it being, they talk about targeting Detroit because of the past problems and because it's a city, it's Michigan's largest city where a lot of people are voting. So they're focusing on that in the trainings. They haven't addressed any sort of conversation about voter suppression or Detroit being a majority Black city.
Madeline Halpert is a reporter with Bridge, Michigan, and with VoteBeat, a Chalkbeat initiative. Madeline, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.